Turn again, please, to Jude, the general epistle of Jude. I want, for a few moments today, to preach upon the subject, the marks of a false prophet. And I want to base my message today in verse 8 of this general epistle of Jude. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Amen. With God's word open before us, let us again bow in prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider his truth. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for this lovely hymn that we have been singing. And we thank thee that many here today can testify that the Lord Jesus Christ is their Savior and their Lord. O God, we thank thee and we praise thee that he is the captain of our souls. And we thank thee that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when he comes back to this earth again, he will find faith upon this earth. O God, it might be a small remnant, but we thank thee and praise thee that you will build your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We pray, Lord, today that you would come and bless your word to our souls. O God, as we study this chapter, we pray, Lord, that you would enlighten us, that you would speak to us, and O God, that you would teach us from thy precious truth. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, that we can turn to thy precious word and we can find guidance even in this 21st century. We thank thee, Lord, that the Bible is right up to date. And O God, while others reject the Bible as the word of God, while men today refuse to be guided by the word of God, we pray, Lord, that you would help us, those of us who are your own people, Lord, not only to read it and to believe it, but help us, Lord, day by day to live it out in our lives. O God, we just pray now that you would fill us with your gracious Holy Spirit and help us, Lord, only to say those things that will be pleasing to thee. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. In this epistle, as we have seen already, Jude is warning God's people of false teachers who have crept into the church to propagate their false teaching. The sad consequences of these false teachers creeping into the church was that they were influencing many away from the truth of God. Jude, as he condemns these false prophets, reveal unto us in this epistle the true character and the true nature of these men. In verse 4, he says that they were ungodly men who were seeking only to deny the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jude then, in verses 5 to 7, reminds God's people how the Lord dealt with such ungodliness in the past, and he gives three examples. When we come to verse 8, Jude is emphasizing that such men as those in the examples that he has given have now entered into the church again. Verse 8 begins by Jude saying, likewise. Underline that word. In other words, Jude is saying the same things are happening today which happened in the past. As there were false teachers in the past, there are now false teachers in the present, and they have crept in amongst us. Men and women, there will always be false teachers seeking to enter into the church in order to spread their false doctrines among God's people. Therefore, we must always be on our guard. And as we have found out already in this epistle, we must earnestly contend for the faith. Today, I want to draw your attention to the marks of a false teacher. In verse 8 of this epistle of Jude, God's servant draws our attention to the marks or the characteristics of the false teacher. Look at verse 8. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Although we have noticed a little already in these studies about the character of these false teachers, Jude in verse 8 develops this subject in more detail. And I pray as we come to consider the subject today that the Lord will speak to our hearts and enlighten our minds again to his truth. I believe, as we have emphasized in the course of these studies so far, that what is written in the general epistle of Jude is a message for today. It's a message for the Church of Christ in this 21st century. Therefore, it's so important not only that we read it, but that we learn what is being taught here by the Holy Spirit through his servant Jude. Now, first of all, I want you to notice that Jude describes these false teachers as dreamers. That's what we read here. Likewise, also these dreamers, these false teachers lived in a dream world. There was no foundation for what they believed. What they taught and what they believed came from their own imagination. They put forth their own ideas. They promoted their own views. They spent their time dreaming up their own false notions. Certainly, nothing that they proclaimed was founded and based upon the Word of God. Their doctrines were their own. Their beliefs were concocted in their own sinful hearts. I believe that's what Jude here is seeking to get across to us about these false teachers who had crept into the church in his day. Now, you'll notice in verse 8, I'm sure that you've noticed it already, that the word filthy is in italics, indicating that the word is not in the original. But obviously our Bible translators put the word in the verse because of the context of these verses and the context of this chapter. Jude is describing, as we have seen already, ungodly men, unholy men, unrighteous men. Therefore, our translators came to one conclusion that the dreams and thoughts of these men were filthy. In the context of the passage, the word filthy describes the dreams of these men perfectly. They were filthy dreamers. Child of God, you and I are not to follow after the dreamer of dreams. We are to base what we believe not upon what men dream, but upon the written word of God. And as we often say in this church, the Bible and the Bible alone is our only rule of faith and practice. I want you to keep your hand in the Epistle of Jude, and I want you to turn back to the Old Testament for a moment, to Deuteronomy chapter 13. I'm going to turn you to two passages of Scripture, Deuteronomy 13 and Jeremiah chapter 23. Here, God speaks about filthy dreamers. Those who base what they say, not upon the word of God, but upon their own notions. Look what it says in Deuteronomy 13 and verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet, or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you, to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him, and cleave unto him. We're not to follow the dreamer. We're not to follow those who propagate false doctrine. And no matter how powerful they seem to be in their speech, we're not to follow after them. That's what the Word of God is teaching us here. You know, men today would run after anything, and they would run after anyone. And especially when they see a crowd, they say, well, something must be happening there. Well, is it according to the Word of God? That's what we learn here in Deuteronomy 13. Is it based upon the scriptures of truth? Child of God, you and I, in this 21st century, we need to be very careful who we listen to and where we go to worship. Because if it's not based solely upon the Word of God, and only upon the Word of God, then we're to stay clear of it. Turn over with me to Jeremiah chapter 23. Take a look with me there at verse 25. And you'll read these words. I have heard that the prophets said, that prophesy lie in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. Why, that's how the Lord describes these dreamers here in Jeremiah 23 in the Old Testament. They're prophets of deceit of their own heart. Verse 27, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal, the prophet that hath a dream. Let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the cleft, the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Look at verse 32. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. You can see there the importance that God places upon His Word and His truth. Child of God, that's why, no matter what comes along, we need to test it according to the Word of God. And that's why it's so important to read the Word of God and to know the Word of God and to study the Word of God and to be able to give an answer to all these false cults and false religions and false prophets that are about us. Oh, you can see here the Bible, and the Bible alone is our only rule of faith and practice. One of the marks of a false teacher is that they are dreamers. They are filthy dreamers. They don't teach what's in the Word of God. And if they have any, if what they say has any resemblance of the Word of God at all, it's usually twisted. They've usually twisted what the Word of God and what the Scriptures of truth teach. Oh, they do not base what they teach and believe upon the pure teaching of God's precious Word. Here we have one of the marks of the false teacher. He's a dreamer. He's a filthy dreamer. He wants nothing to do with the pure Word of God. Now take a look at verse 8 again, and you'll notice something else here. Secondly, Jude describes these false teachers as those who defile the flesh. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. Now, the word defile there in verse 8, it means to stain or to corrupt. That's what the word literally means in the original. In other words, these false teachers had so stained and so corrupted themselves that there was no limits to their sin and to their depravity. Not only did they support and promote the sins of the flesh, but they entered into them themselves, and all in the name of religion. I believe when Jude speaks about these false teachers as being defiled in the flesh, he's referring back to the illustration he gave in verse 7. And we looked at that illustration in our last study. In verse 7, Jude speaks about the sin of sodomy, or the sin of homosexuality. He describes sodomy as fornication in verse 7, and also he describes sodomy as strange flesh. In other words, the very worst of sins. And of course, that's what sodomy is. That's what homosexuality is. The very worst of sins. And we'll maybe say something in more detail about that next week in the will of the Lord. But then in verse 8, Jude describes these false teachers as those who defile the flesh. In other words, they're just as vile and sinful in their thoughts and in their deeds as the men of Sodom and Gomorrah. I believe that's what Jude is seeking to bring out in verse 8. One commentator said this: the minds of these false teachers had become a cesspool of iniquity, and because of this, they had no conscience about their despicable activities. Sin had become pleasurable to them. Virtue had given way to vice. And as they attempted to satisfy the appetite of the flesh, they indulged in the works of the flesh. Men and women, all these false teachers wanted was the sins of the flesh. And the sad thing was this: they used the cloak of religion to indulge in the sins of the flesh. And men are still doing that today. Churches and organizations are still doing that today. Do you want an example? Well, just take a look at the Church of Rome. Now, friend, I know that you can get a rotten apple in any barrel. And these false teachers here, they were in the church. They were in the church, spreading their false doctrines. That's what we learn here in Jude. But you know, as far as Rome is concerned, the whole barrel is corrupted. Oh, here we have another mark of the false teacher. Not only is he a dreamer, not only will he seek to put forth his own ideas, he will discard the word of God, he will twist the word of God to his own thinking. But he's one that defiles the flesh. He's only in it for his own aims. He's only in it for his own gain. He's only in it for what he personally can get out of it. And what usually he wants out of it is sin and sin and more sin. Child of God, that's why you and I need to keep ourselves pure. That's why we need to live above the world and sin. That's why we need to walk before the Lord circumspectly. But notice verse 8 again. I want you to notice something else here about these false teachers. Thirdly, Jude describes these false teachers as those who despise dominion and who speak evil of dignities. That's what is said there. Likewise, also these false dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion. Underline it. And speak evil of dignities. This means that these false teachers refuse to accept and respect all authority. That's what those phrases mean. Especially the authority of God and His Word. In other words, they were a law unto themselves. They were right and everyone else was wrong. Just like the angels that kept not their first estate, who rejected the authority of God, these false teachers that Jude is speaking about here rejected the authority of God and His Word. The word dignities there is referring to those in authority. The phrase to speak evil in the text comes from the word blasphemy. The word dominion in the text means lordship. Therefore, not only do these false teachers despise and reject and blaspheme the authority that God has set up on earth, but they despise and reject and blaspheme the lordship of Christ and the authority of heaven. They blaspheme the word of God and hold it in contempt. Men and women, these are the marks, some of the marks of the false teachers. These are the marks of the false prophet. These are the marks of an apostate. The false teacher will not want anything to do with the authority of God's word. He will question God's word. He will doubt God's word. He will deny God's word. He will corrupt God's word. And at the same time, he will say, I believe God's word. And in this, the false teacher is like his father, the devil. Because that is what Satan does. He is a denier and a corrupter of the word of God. You see, the truth is, these false teachers that Jude is speaking about here, who had crept in among God's people, they were motivated and energized by the devil himself. Keep your hand in Jude and turn back, just so that I can remind you, to Genesis chapter 3. You're familiar with sin entering into the world and how the serpent, the devil, came and tempted Eve. And you will know that when the devil tempted Eve, that he questioned the word of God. And he denied the word of God. And he sought to corrupt the word of God. God had told our first parents, commanded them indeed, not to eat of the forbidden fruit. And of course, the devil comes. Look at verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. That was the word of God. That's what God had said. And Eve, of course, was aware of what God had said. She knew the truth, and she knew the commandment of God. Verse 4, And the serpent, or the devil, said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. How the devil comes with subtlety. Denying the word of God, twisting the word of God, corrupting the word of God. My friend, that's the mark of the false prophet. The false prophet will twist the word of God, deny the word of God, corrupt the word of God. The false prophet will say the word of God doesn't mean what you think it means. It means this. And they're of their father, the devil. Indeed, just turn over to John's Gospel, chapter 8, for a moment, and take a look at what the Lord Jesus Christ said to the Pharisees and to the scribes in John 8. And of course, the Pharisees and the scribes, they were religious men. They were the religious leaders at the time of the Lord Jesus. So if anyone should have known the truth, it was these men. They should have known the truth. Look what it says in verse 43 of John 8. Underline it. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Here's the Lord Jesus speaking to them. And of course they deny that he's the Messiah. That he's the Savior of the world. Although he has declared it. And although it has been proven that he is the Son of God. Still they will not believe it. And they don't understand his speech, and they will not hear his word. Look what Jesus says about them in verse 44. Ye are of your father, the devil. Underline it. And the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. Oh, you can see here that the Lord Jesus in his public ministry, he had to deal with a false teacher. He had to deal with the false prophet. And when he spoke to them, he certainly didn't mince his words. He called them that they were of their father, the devil. And that's the truth of the matter. And every false teacher is of their father, the devil. The false teacher or the false prophet is one who is arrogant. One who refuses to listen to the truth of the Bible. He will not listen to or regard in any way the truth of God's precious, precious, precious word. The illustration that is given in verse 9 of Jude brings this out very clearly. When Jude speaks about Michael the archangel refusing to bring against Satan a railing accusation when he disputed about the body of Moses, Jude was contrasting Michael's attitude to that of the false teacher. The archangel Michael left the devil in the hands of the Lord. He said to the devil in verse 9, "The Lord rebuke thee." What a difference, what a contrast when we think of the attitude and arrogance of the false teachers. The sole purpose of this illustration in verse 9, I believe, is to show the difference between Michael in his dispute with Satan and the false teachers in their arrogance and defiance towards the people of God and the Word of God. Men and women, liberals, acumenists, apostates, whatever you want to call them, false prophets, will listen to no one. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to know the truth, because as far as they are concerned, their way is right. Their false teaching is right. And although the Word of God is clear, the false teacher refuses to heed what the Scriptures plainly teach. And as they propagate their false doctrines, they are arrogant. You ever talk to someone involved in the cults, a leader in the cults? You ever talk to an apostate? They're arrogant people. And although you take the Bible and you show them clearly what the Bible teaches and what the Bible says, they just don't want to see. They just don't want to know. Their way is right. Their way is right. Oh, there are men, and they had crept into the church in the days of Jude, and they're in the church today. They're in the church today. And that's why it is so important, child of God, that you and I are able to distinguish who these men are. Now, I said, I think it was last week, not everyone that wears a clerical collar is a man of God. And you would know that to be the truth. At least you should know it. Just because someone dresses up in religious robes, that doesn't mean that they're a child of God. The Bible says that we're to try the spirits. And we're to test the spirits. How are we to do that? According to God's word. According to God's word. That's why Jude begins his epistle by exhorting God's people to earnestly contend for the faith. Oh, let me emphasize this truth again to you. Perhaps you missed that message. Well, take a look again with me at verse 3. Here's Jude's great appeal. Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The phrase, the faith there, as you know, as we have said, means the Bible. It means the doctrines that are found in the Word of God. That's the faith that Jude here is speaking about. And here Jude exhorts the saints to earnestly contend for the faith. Earnestly contend for the faith. Contending for the faith is not only the responsibility of the minister or the elders or the presbytery or the moderator. Contending for the faith is the responsibility of all the people of God. Because as we have noticed already in these studies, this general epistle of Jude was written to all the saints of God. To all the saints of God. Therefore, this epistle is for you and it's for me. Look at verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them, underline it, friend, to them that are sanctified, to them that are preserved, to them that are called. This epistle is for you and I today. It's for every one of God's people. And again in verse 3, Jude addresses the saints of God. He says, beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you, to write unto you. Therefore, it is the duty of every Christian to earnestly contend for the faith. Here's the challenge. Are you, am I, are we earnestly contending for the faith? Let me emphasize it again. The phrase earnestly contend means to fight. It means to strive. How are we to fight for the faith? How are we to strive for the faith? How are we to earnestly contend for the faith? Let me remind you again. We're to know the truth. We're to love the truth. We're to believe the truth. We're to receive the truth. Have you received the truth? Receiving the truth means accepting Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, knowing Him as Lord of your life. Earnestly contending for the faith means not only loving the truth and knowing the truth and believing the truth and receiving the truth, it means living out the truth in our lives day by day. That we make sure that we live according to this book that we say we love. My, one of the best ways to earnestly contend for the faith is to shine out in your testimony and to have a testimony that others may look and see that you have been to Jesus for the cleansing power and that you're washed in the blood of the Lamb and that your words go along with your practice. So important to live the truth. We need to live the truth in these days. And of course, defend the truth and stand up for the truth. Proverbs 23, verse 23 says, buy the truth and sell it not. Sell it not. That word, buy there, means receive. Receive the truth. Hold on to the truth. Sell it not. There are many churches today and they're selling out the truth. A little bit here and a little bit there. Selling the truth. Oh, what Jude is saying here is, the truth is not for sale. That's what he's saying. The truth is not for sale. And that's why, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he writes these words to the saints of God, to the people of God, to warn them of false teachers that had crept in unawares to spread their false doctrine and their false teaching. My friend, it's so important for us to know what we believe, to know the doctrines of grace, to know what the Bible says, and to defend it. No matter what anyone says, you might feel that you're the odd one out. Well, join the club. The Christian in this 21st century, if they're going to stand up for God's word and believe God's word, they're definitely going to feel the odd one out. In this county of Fermanagh, you're the odd one out. For they're all running after ecumenism. And just watch, because there's others going to join them. But we must stand fast on what we believe. The word of God. Oh, may God bless His word. If you're not saved today, come and join the ranks of the redeemed. And if you are saved, then determine from this day forth that you're going to live for the Lord. If you haven't been living for the Lord, there's nothing that brings the cause of Christ down more than the backslider. Now the Lord is able to restore the years that the locusts have eaten. But you know, it's so important, child of God, that we bear a good testimony in our community, where we live. People are watching on. People are watching on to see what you're doing. They may not believe what you believe. And they may not want anything to do with the Bible. But they're watching you. And they're watching me to see what we're going to do. In every avenue of our lives, they're watching us. Oh, let us bear that good testimony for the Lord. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word. And Lord, we confess, Lord, we fall far short of the teaching of Thy word. Forgive us for our sins. Send us a breath of revival. how the Church of Jesus Christ in these days needs a breath from heaven. And Lord, we pray that you'll come and touch our lives afresh. Oh God, we pray that you'll keep your hand upon our church. Keep your hand upon our denomination. Oh God, we pray that you'll have mercy upon the free church. And that you'll come again and revive us in this country. For Lord, this country is far falling away from thee. Oh God, have mercy upon our land. Have mercy upon this nation of ours. And we pray, oh God, that you'll move again. Move again by your mighty power. Defeat popery and defeat ecumenism. And those, Lord, who would bring us back into the Church of Rome and to popery. Lord, help us, Lord, to know where the lines are drawn. Help us to draw the line, Lord, where you would draw the line. Not where we would think the line should be drawn. Or maybe it would please a certain amount of people if we drew the line a wee bit further back. But Lord, help us to draw the line. Will you draw the line? Pray that the Word of God, Lord, will come afresh to our hearts in these days. And Lord, if it means to stand alone, then give us the grace, Lord, to stand up for Christ. For we're never alone. For one with God is a majority. We thank thee, Lord, for that. And we praise thee for that, Lord. Help us not to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Lord, bless your word, therefore, to our souls. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Amen.